from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Gerard had mentioned earlier this week that just between joint practice and this game, it could be good for building your confidence. I'm just wondering where your confidence is now after tonight.
Yeah, I think every time you get out there, I think you kind of get more and more confident. First off, it's always going to be the nerves, going out there, running out there the first time. But other than that, yeah, I think, the more reps, I think it's only going to help me. And at the end of the day, I'm just fortunate to be able to get out there and get some reps and try to make the most of my opportunities.
Does Drake May have a nickname, Andy?
I don't think so.
I think Oshucks would stick, no?
No.
What about just the banjo from... what's the just play that whenever he gets out there. What am I thinking of? What's the name of that song? The Deep South. God darn it. I'm not gonna use the Lord's name in vain while Pudge is in the hospital. So
I might need him.
Yeah, I need him right now. as Jelly Roll says, we only talk to God when we need a favor. Jelly Roll, do you like him? Are you in?
I do.
Oh God, is he amazing. Great collab with Eminem. Ken and Curtis, no Ken. I'm here along with the great Andy Hart. And that was Drake May, who is preparing for the season here. I thought, so I was reared in the 90s in Boston, Andy. That was my coming of age. I was born in 84, so I was brought up in Loserville, the lost decade. I've talked about writing a book about the 90s in Boston, but I've decided against it. But in the 90s, Michael Bishop was everybody's favorite player.
Yeah.
In this time slot, the great Larry Johnson, along with Craig Mustard, would discuss the amazing throws by Michael Bishop in the mid-90s with Pete Carroll rah-rahing and all the festivities going on as the Patriots were preparing for another 8-8 season. The Joe Milton random fanboys are proof that everything is just cyclical, because we are back to sucking and we're back to loving the really flashy guy that comes off the bench. There's a guy that just texted it. Deliverance. Thank you. God. There was a guy texting during the break about how Joe Milton is far more talented than Drake May will ever be.
So he physically may be. This is where I get into that weird debate. Physically, he's probably more talented. He has a stronger arm. He's bigger. He can run people over.
Ryan Leaf.
But he's not a better quarterback. And Drake May is no slouch athletically either. That's where the comparison really gets a little wishy-washy. But Joe Milton is fun. I have no problem with anyone who loves watching Joe Milton play, backflips on the practice field, you know, playing on the preseason game field. But he was what he was in college. He played at two major colleges, never really blew up and became who he was supposed to be on his physical tools. He's a little older. He's like 4 years older than Drake May, isn't he?
Yeah, Drake May is a legit baby.
Like, yes, I feel that's like the other great part.
People would keep looking for the fake if he was going to Hoos right now. Like,
finally, those stupid lists of like best NFL players under the age of 25 or whatever that we've kind of been a little omitted from in recent years. Get Drake May on the field so we can finally have a representative on those lists.
And, you know, I thought obviously Drake May had a very good week. He had a great quarter of preseason action. He reshaped the entire dialogue surrounding the football team. And I would like to compliment Jerod Mayo.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of people here that hate him because of who he's replacing and for, you know, for not genuflecting in the direction of the great hooded one. But Matthew Judon and Elliot Wolf not navigating that impasse that was, you know, that scene in Austin Powers where he's like, no, and there's this bulldozer that's going 5 miles an hour directly at him and he doesn't move. That was the Judon contract struggle with the organization. And I saw that, and I'm like, how did you not in the offseason either extend him first or trade him?
Yeah, baby!
I mean, you're a tiger! I don't know how that happened or how that didn't happen. I thought Jerod Mayo may have been a little clumsy in how he was just talking about it in the immediate aftermath of Judon so openly showing up the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But about a week later, 2 weeks later, they trade Judon for a third-round pick. I think, all in all, that was a curveball thrown in the direction of Jerod Mayo. I thought he handled it well. I thought the team did get value for him. And what may have been a real sort of derailing element of the beginning of a new tenure of a head coach, I thought was actually dealt with pretty well.
Yeah, the details, less than ideal along the way at various points. I thought he said some kind of dumb things, like the day where he led off his press, the Judon thing is behind us. Well, you don't really get to say that unless Judon also says the Judon thing is behind us, and he called it a hiccup, and it wasn't done at that point. But the totality of it, they traded the guy for a third-round pick, more than I thought they would get for him. I thought that was a very good trade, and didn't bow down, like stuck to their guns. I think everybody assumed the way all the contracts got signed, oh, they're just going to give him the money too. We're just going to keep keeping everybody and paying everybody. And whether this sends a message that, you know, you can't necessarily just get what you want by pouting and holding in and being kind of a dink, I don't know if that's intended or unintended, if that plays in there, but there's a little bit of that. They didn't just bow down to everybody. Devon Godshaw, you know why he got paid? Because he caved. He got basically half what he was asking for. So, yes, they would have had Judon caved and taken half what he was asking for at some point. Maybe they would have signed him, too. But instead, they got good value. I thought that was a win all the way around. I know people, another reason people called me a homer. Oh, I thought we were trying to win games this year. Well, then you thought wrong because they are not trying to win games this
year. Right. Listen to Robert Kraft on the Greg Hill Show. I mean, he said, I don't know what this year will bring. Well, that's what you say when you know it will bring, right, and it won't be very good.
And Jerod Mayo in his pre-training camp press conference said, we're going to win games. I don't know whether that'll be this year or next year. The head coach just said it.
Jerod Mayo was not supposed to be where he finds himself right now.
Correct.
This is ahead of schedule because Belichick was so awful at the end, not only in roster building, but in roster communicating and the way in which you completely ignored another side of the ball. And the other rewriting of history that goes on by these Belichick stooges, that's like, this never happened with Bill Belichick. No player ever showed any, like,
it all happened.
It all happened because it happens everywhere. Because in the NFL, it's non-guaranteed. So everybody at the top of their game, outside of Tom Brady, even though it did happen with him too, go ask Robert Kraft. I mean, do we forget about the entire Guerrero, Belichick, Brady, Tom versus Time fiasco? I mean, this went on in all elements of the organization because it goes on in all elements of every organization.
So you're all in on Mayo?
I like
half
Mayo.
Of this, after this little
before
test.
And after. I thought he earned the right as a guy that knows the system, fills the gaps that Bill couldn't fill, relatability to the player, a guy that is incredibly detail-oriented, a guy that is meticulous, played the most important defensive position. I think he will continue to steward the strongest part of this team in the right direction. And I don't know what he'll be as a head coach, just like, you know, maybe he'll fail like Bill did in Cleveland. I don't know, but
that's smart money. I mean, honestly, I don't want to, you know, bully the guy before he's even had one single regular season game, but isn't smart money in the NFL that the guy will be good his second chance? He'll make a lot of mistakes the first time, and the second time he has a better chance of succeeding.
Exactly. And it's really, he'll have a good chance to succeed if Drake May's really good.
Correct.
The other thing is, Belichick was fired in Cleveland, came here, took over an 8-8 team, and went 5-11, then 0-2. So let's catch our breath. Bill Belichick is a brilliant coach. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He should be. But Gerard Mayo being, that's the other thing, is it's like we were comparing Cam Newton to Tom Brady, but the Tom Brady we were comparing him to wasn't represented, like, even though he did well in Tampa. Like, you're comparing Gerard Mayo to Bill Belichick, where Belichick, if we're talking early 2000s, is in his own stratosphere of understanding the cap that actually mattered, getting players that were great at one thing, having everybody work to do their job with great coaching, and you win a championship against a far more talented team. Like, that is Belichick's prime. That's not what Belichick was last year. He didn't talk to his quarterback. He completely ignored a side of the ball. He didn't have a punt return back because his moron friend was still running the special teams. He didn't give titles to anybody because he was obsessed with power. Like, it ended because it should have ended. Gerard Mayo should have an opportunity to succeed. I think he'll have 2 to 3 years. And I like what they've done this year so far. I like what I've heard from him. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm not going to lose my mind because they skipped practice to go to a community event at a YMCA.
Well, the soft practices and everything is just, that's just modern football. That's everywhere. You know, people want to romanticize like two-a-days and tough practices and goal line. Yeah, okay, so go back and watch the early 2000s because that's gone everywhere. That's gone in 32 cities across the NFL. That's just not football anymore. I do think people get just so confused in the comparisons. It's like comparing the best of Bill Belichick, the goatness of Bill Belichick, to Gerard Mayo in his first week on the job in August. Oh, that would have never happened to Bill. The end, Bill? You're right. It wouldn't have happened, probably. The beginning, Bill? It did happen. In Cleveland, he made hellacious mistakes. In New England, he made hellacious mistakes or navigated rocky waters. The comparison I've used all along that people, I just think generationally, a lot of people don't know. Terry Glenn was on the practice field with a cell phone in his ear talking during practice. You cannot get more disrespectful to a coach than doing that. And those people would be like, this would never happen to Bill.
Right, it did.
It did, and it was on camera. The media was out there. They zoomed in on Terry Glenn on the phone during practice.
I mean, you can Google it, as LB would say. Ty Law, on this radio station, when he was playing, said that Bill Belichick lies to feed his family. Okay? And he's slightly more talented than Matthew Judon. I like Matthew Judon. I don't think he said it to Canton.
No.
Ty Law, one of the great cornerbacks in the history of the NFL. So, and at that point had won a couple Super Bowls. So I say all that we all are so quick to jump down the throat of Gerard Mayo because we're mad at how Belichick was treated in the end by the Krafts with an Apple TV. And you know what? The organization didn't do themselves any favors. I didn't like that Elliott Wolf arrived at the combine and said that we're going to change the vibes. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be collaborative. It's tough enough to build a good team. You don't need to demean the person you're replacing. It to me, it comes across as tacky.
But we both know when you say a lot of stuff, you say dumb stuff.
Absolutely. I majored in it.
And especially the newer you are at having to say a lot of stuff. And Gerard Mayo has never had to speak this much in his life publicly on a microphone. He didn't do it as a player. He was few and far between as a player.
Oh, really?
Oh, very short, would hide until like late Friday, so there weren't a ton of media members there. Did not speak a lot as a player. And Elliott Wolf, I mean, he's been in the background. When you're a up-and-coming executive, you don't do a lot of talking. Now, all of a sudden, you're at the combine, and there's 50 media members in front of you in bright lights. You're live on NFL Network, and you're answering questions about Bill Belichick and how good you are in terms of replacing him. Okay, it's not perfect.
And especially when you're the son of one of the great NFL architects of all time, right, who's in the Hall of Fame, you're usually listening, not as much speaking.
Right. So they're going to make mistakes. You hope they're not, you know, irreparable damage type mistakes with players. Or because right now, you said it earlier, really the one thing they can't screw up, they have to make sure they handle the best way possible, is Drake May.
Yeah.
Everything else you can kind of come back from. If you piss off this guy, okay, not great. Like, okay, maybe Christian Gonzalez, try to keep that relationship good and that moving in the forward direction. But they have very few things that they could screw up right now if they nailed the number three overall pick this year.
If you want to look at the old guy, look at all the things that went wrong. Look at all the chaos that went around that organization. Look at the penalties that they were charged with and,
yep,
and convicted with. It all went away because you had the quarterback and you...
And that fixes it.
Fixes like, everything.
The perfect example for me was I thought the Jimmy Garoppolo pick was stupid. Stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why are we drafting a quarterback in the second round when you have the greatest quarterback of all time? Give him weapons. Utilize that pick to help him.
Maximize his potential.
And what did they do? They won the Super Bowl.
And you know what? I know you and I probably disagree. I think it fueled Tom in a way.
And it may have. Or it just may have been a wasted pick that didn't contribute anything that year. Just like he doesn't call timeout against Seattle. If right, they lose that game,
dumb,
do we rip him?
Of course.
But did they win the game?
We don't talk about it.
So it was right.
Exactly.
Because the scoreboard tells you the end result, and you say, okay, that was great. Good job.
Exactly. I mean, it's true. It's results-based, and it will all be determined by the success or failure of Drake May. And this week, that took a positive turn, so we're all optimistic. Join us at 617-779-7937. Joe Braverman has what's trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, that's not nice. dueling banjos for Zoe. I don't think he's that picky. I mean, my goodness.
You know, I've never seen Deliverance.
I don't think I have either.
Like, I know there's apparently a famous, like, male rape scene in it or something, right?
Oh, God.
Isn't that what it's known for?
Isn't
it, like, squeal like a pig or something?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of drops. Yeah, that was not in my part of my zeitgeist.
Yeah, me either. And then when I heard about it, I was like, I don't know that I want to watch that. Like,
no, I am. We had Wiggy famously yesterday on the Greg Hill Show all excited or all enraged about a Caligula remake. I guess that was the Roman porn.
I saw that making the wet rounds on social media.
Yeah.
But it's like a weird new cut that doesn't use any of the original cut or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of sex in it. A
lot of sex. And we all know Wiggy has a lot of sex.
21 times a month because he does it three times a week or whatever his math was.
I never know what to do over at the radio telethon because it's a serious, not somber. It's a serious occasion. But Wiggy, man, all-timer, trying to figure out how he arrived at 21 times a month is the normal amount of sex.
But you know, he would pass modern math with that.
Really?
Yeah. That was the whole, I think they've kind of scrapped it, but the new math, modern math thing was, if you can explain how you got to an answer, then you're right.
Well, that's, I mean,
like, if you say 2 + 2 = 5, but can explain it, they used to say you're right.
You know what's amazing? It's like you're in my, yesterday, well, not yesterday, this week, Pudge has been at the vet and had some emergency surgery and been really, really sick. And every time I talk to the doctor, I am so grateful, no matter how painful, that they are telling me exactly what is. They don't want to deliver news that, you know, things aren't working or that we're not. I'm sure they would feel much better saying, Pudge is going to live another 10 years. He's doing great. He'll be home tomorrow. And I'm so grateful for hard, accurate information, because it's got to be incredibly difficult to be this doctor who wants to save this dog, who has to tell the owner that he's still trying, he's not been saved. But I thought of how in every other aspect of our society we lie to people.
Yeah,
because it's just acceptable to say they're good at something when they're not, and how damaging that is on every level. Like, no, you don't have the right answer if you explain it. The only way showing your work matters is when you're wrong, so you can go back and see where the mistake was so you correct it. Like, God, is that stupid? And so, like, is there anything that would lead to the quicker erasure of a society than telling people they're right when they're wrong?
Like, probably not.
You can get home by taking a right at the turn. No, it's actually the opposite direction,
right,
but, you know, it's a left, but whatever, take a right, get there tomorrow. God, is that frustrating. But speaking of people thinking that they're right and when they're wrong.
Uh-oh.
Christian Gonzalez, what's cooking with this guy? Is it, because one thing I am famous for ripping Bill Belichick, but he was a cornerback whisperer. Mm-hmm. The guy was brilliant at it. As good as any, of all the great traits Bill Belichick possessed as the head coach and general manager of the Patriots, his ability to find and develop cornerbacks is at the top of the list. I remember going back to Earthwind Moreland being like, how are they going to stop the vaunted Steelers? How are they going to do? Yep, they were fine. Ty Law got injured. Didn't play a playoff game in 04. I think he got injured in that Steelers game that they lost.
Hmm.
And then they go on and win the Super Bowl. And, you know, we never talk about him again. Troy Brown
stumbled into something that Bill should have realized how idiotic the Matt Patricia hire for offensive coordinator was based on his own shortcomings. I'd never thought of it like this. Bill's greatest position of strength might be cornerback.
Totally.
His worst position?
Quarterback.
I would say wide receiver.
Okay, yes.
And they're mirror images of each other. So theoretically, you can coach corners, you should be able to coach receivers to beat corners.
Amen.
Right? And his whole philosophy, you know, everybody sold me on, well, Matt Patricia knows offense as well as anyone because he coaches against it. He has to call against it. So he's reverse engineered it. Well, nobody reverse engineered passing attacks better than Bill Belichick.
Great point.
And yet he couldn't concoct wide receivers.
Couldn't, I mean.
So if he used his own strengths and weaknesses and experiences, he should have said, this is a terrible idea to have Matt Patricia run the offense.
Right. Well, wow. He hated Matt.
I'd never thought of that.
Well, I didn't even intend to help you there, but I will say this. It also, begs the question, just quickly on the wide receivers, being as bad as the Patriots were for two decades at drafting receivers, while having those receivers have the greatest to ever throw a ball throwing to them, is one of the great anomalies in the history of sports.
And not just the greatest to throw to them, great talent around them. For most of the phases, you could develop in the shadow of a Moss, a Gronkowski, an Edelman, with other guys that Ty Law tells you guys, like, we're afraid of, we're focused on. So you should be able to get yours elsewhere on the field, and they never were ever able to do it. And even worse was, at one point it was accepted to struggle developing receivers. A lot of places did. It was a swing and miss position more.
Right.
Then later in Bill's tenure, everybody was hitting on receivers left and right everywhere.
No, I mean that,
Kevin Colbert in Pittsburgh used to just pull Steelers receivers out of his butt every offseason right. when he needed them.
And then we get them when they're bad. But like looking at that, the N'Keal Harry draft, it's far more impressive to find N'Keal Harry in a sea full of A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalfs. Like,
you found the one. It's like trying to do like a 12-leg parlay and lose all of them. That's
exactly.
just as impressive as winning all of them.
It's amazing.
And he was able to do that. And even more amazing this week to come full circle to joint practices. And we'll get to Christian Gonzalez, because the guy who was whooping Christian Gonzalez's ass this week, A.J. Brown, good Lord. He is a specimen of all specimens.
What was the trade for the Titans for him?
It was like
second?
The 18th. No, first round pick and $100 million. It literally, very simple. It was a middle of the first round pick, maybe 18, 19, somewhere in there. And then you had to hand A.J. Brown, I think, 4 years, $100 million. Very simple. The man.
What did the Titans do with that pick? Do we know?
They drafted a receiver, I believe.
Okay.
And not
right.
as good. One of the Burks. Is that his name?
Yeah.
But to see A.J. Brown in person up close, he is classic, like, V-cut, big shoulders. And then you go out and watch him be more athletic than Christian Gonzalez and all the corners.
The size discrepancy in just the
unreal.
Limited action was amazing.
He was by far the best player on the field. There was 180 players on the field between the two teams. He was the best player on the field. Now we'll get to Christian Gonzalez,
yes.
where you started this conversation. He's just not as good as everybody says he is right now. That doesn't mean he won't be as good as everybody says he can be.
He's really young, too, even though it's his second year.
Very young.
Small.
Ridiculous athlete. I watch him do some things in drills when you're just like spin around, one-hand catch. Like, if they had had him instead of Wes Welker, they'd probably win another Super Bowl watching him do some of these things. But then I watch him cover people, and I'm like, why is Tyquan Thornton beating him in one-on-ones in the red zone in practice? And then A.J. Brown is bitch-slapping him, which is fine. He's A.J. Brown. He might be a top-five receiver, but people are telling me that Christian Gonzalez is going to be an elite corner.
He shut down Tyreek Hill before he got hurt.
Right. And I just don't see it. And these preseason games, he was toasted by, who the hell was it, their backup receiver, the guy who got drafted by the Bengals, John Ross, toasted him. Now, they missed the throw. Pickett missed the throw, just like in the first game.
Pickett sucks, by the way.
Well, yeah, he is what he is. He's Mac. He's a backup quarterback who went in the first round. It's fine.
I mean, not what I would do with the first round pick.
But Christian Gonzalez, everybody wants to tell me how great he is, but I'm watching. I have eyes. Like, this is one of those, like, the Emperor Has No Clothes on?
Right.
Kind of, like, everybody's telling me how great he is, and then I watch, and I don't see the greatness in team defense in seven. You know what I mean? Like, the skills are there. I can acknowledge all the skills. But to me, he's closer to like Joe Milton, where I need you to take the skills and then turn them into actual productive play on the field. So, but you get mad. Oh, people will yell at me now. Like, if you bring up the idea that Christian Gonzalez is not the second coming of Deion Sanders, Mike Haynes, and Darrell Revis all wrapped into one, people get very upset.
But wouldn't it stand to reason that if there was to be a deficiency in the absence of Bill Belichick, it would be seen in the secondary in their defensive schemes for this upcoming season?
Well, like, that's another graveyard everybody's whistling past. Defense is going to carry this team to victories. You're going to win games just because your defense is so good. I thought we just lost the best defensive coach in the history of the game. He was part of it.
Right.
He was part of it last year. I know you keep DC, DeMarcus Covington. I know you keep Mayo, but you lost the guy overseeing
and Brian Belichick.
Right, and you lose Brian, the play caller. Forget about
you keep Brian, but you lose Steven.
Steve, you lose your play caller. You have a first-time play caller, but don't we see it with a lot of these companies? Like, you think the CEO probably really doesn't do a ton, like just is the figurehead, And then you see all these companies, like, who's the guy from Disney? They got rid of
Bob Iger.
Yeah, now he's back, and they're trying to right the ship.
Right.
Right, like, sometimes the guy that's at the head of the depth chart making, like, only big-picture decisions really, really matters.
And
the people below him, and that's another
reason. Why do you think we've been struggling with Ken?
And that's another reason why I think just, like, saying this defense is going to roll out of bed and be good because they've been good in recent years against backup quarterbacks and all those things, like, okay, maybe. Or maybe Joe Burrow and Tua and Brock Purdy with all their weapons are going to say, Christian Gonzalez, I'll take my chances with you. Let's go, Rook. Let's see how good you really are against Debo and Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I would say the one thing this week that aggravated me was the, we played it on the Greg Hill Show, Mike McDaniel was talking, I think, with Pat McAfee. We don't have to get the cut. It's this long-winded cut. But he basically goes on and on and on about how we can't envision the NFL without Bill Belichick. He's the greatest mind. I'm like, you were like 6-0 against him, dude. Like, he couldn't have been that great if you were
With Tua.
With Tua, exactly. let's go to Derek in Pepperell. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Hey, Curtis. How are you? You guys will get a kick out of this. I just picked some fresh corn at my farm right here in Pepperell.
Oh, nice. I like good. I had corn this summer. I got to have some.
Oh, man. James is obsessed with corn. He said that last night, favorite food, corn. I was like, really?
Obsessed going in or coming out?
Oh, boy. Both. Well, hopefully it's leaving.
What's after up, the Derek? Show, come on up to Pep. Come up to Pepperell and I'll give you some free corn. How's that for you guys?
It sounds good.
But all good. All right. How are the other two quarterbacks that were picked number one and two? How are they faring against Drake May?
Good. Well, they're both the starters, so that puts them in a different situation. Obviously, Caleb Williams was the starter when they traded Justin Fields and they just moved on and said he's the starter. Then, what was it, about 10 days ago, Washington announced that Jaden Daniels be the starter. Both have made a lot of plays and I would say are getting, I mean, obviously I'm not watching those guys day to day, but are getting more consistent positive buzz for the most part. That the second preseason game for Williams, he made some plays that, you know, we got excited about. What'd you say? Sand? What'd you call it? Eating sand or something?
Yeah, we were in the desert and we were drinking sand.
Yeah. No, he found like a Poland spring and was just drinking. The water was gushing out of the ground. He made some plays that are just, he's physically phenomenal.
He's unbelievable. And we were talking about the Patriots' inability to find a receiver in the draft with the greatest quarterback of all time. The Bears' quarterback history, it's more impressive than having like what the Packers did with Favre to Rodgers, because they literally have never had a 4,000-yard passer. I don't know if they've had a 3,500-yard passer, which is almost impossible. The best quarterback the Bears have had in my lifetime is Jay Cutler. Is that accurate?
Maybe. Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon, well, yeah. I mean, 86, I guess I was two. But, yeah, I mean, they may have that guy. And in Chicago, the Bears are, like, if Caleb Williams is what he looks like he is, he's going to be like Jordan in that town.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of talent he is now. We'll see how all the father and the off the field stuff. And
what did you think of him telling the teammates to clean up the locker room? Did you see that story?
No,
it was bizarre. He was publicly complaining about how the teammates were leaving the locker room a mess as a rookie quarterback.
But it's leadership, though.
If you're that good,
yeah, and you may be a rookie quarterback, but it's his team.
That's true.
Yeah, Bears leading receiver all time in a single season
passer.
3,800 yards from Eric Kramer in 1995.
There you go,
Eric Kramer.
Never had a guy throw 4,000 yards.
Could have done the next hour and a half. I would have never said Eric Kramer.
No, I would have said Seinfeld first. Can you see how many 4,000-yard passers there have been in the history of the NFL? While we're doing that, Ed in Wellesley. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Chris. Nice to talk to you.
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, you guys are doing a great job in the morning. You really are. It's really nice to listen to what the team is doing.
Thank you, Ed. In particular,
yesterday, Wiggy's comments about going to Martha's Vineyard. Do you think he was at the nude beach by 6 or 7 a.m. this morning?
I think he was right there, and I love Wiggy. God, do I love him. But his story on the boat, he shows his sneaker, and he's in the harbor in New Bedford. That is nothing. That is no value. You got to show me the waves as you're crossing over in the middle of Ernesto. Like, anyway, but that's okay. We don't get everything we want.
That's great. So, hey, Belichick, so you may have mentioned this, or maybe you had somebody on the show this week talk about it. I got to imagine he's going to wind up in Dallas, if maybe as early as midseason. I mean, I just can't believe they brought McCarthy back. And I know there's an ego issue with Jones and, you know, how that might match up with Belichick, but I just think that's his landing spot. What do you think?
So, same. Ed, I appreciate the kind words. I
already bet Rich Keefe a pizza that would happen.
That's a big bet.
Have you seen what a large pizza costs these days?
We have a little shop in South Boston that has bagels that the little guy likes. He, long story short, he threw his first drink everywhere. And then we got a bagel. And he's like, oh, can I have a sparkle water? I said, okay. It's a bubbly, like B-U-B-L-Y.
Oh, yeah.
I check out. $4.03. What is going on in society? I'm with Kamala Harris. Price gouging is real. Like,
oh, yeah.
That cost what? And then yesterday, we were going, there was a food ice cream truck right at Castle Island. A strawberry popsicle. I'm talking like tiny strawberry popsicle. Any guesses? I mean,
might have been like $5.
$5.06.
Convenience fee.
That cost 5 cents.
Well, don't buy it.
It wasn't my choice.
Have you seen your electric bill?
Eversource is banana land.
And you know what annoys me? Not that we have to be angry white dudes on the radio bitching about bills. This whole thing where you look at your electric bill and it says like...
delivery cost?
Isn't that just wire that's already there and a switch?
Yeah.
How is that more than what it costs to produce? Because I understand the production's an issue. Oh, fossil fuels, right. Wind, all blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Why are you charging me double to deliver it? It's a wire that already exists. They've been on those damn poles forever.
Correct.
And they've been connected to my house forever. So what are we doing there? It feels to me like they're just screwing you because that's the number they can control.
Right. I want to start a presidential campaign based on screwing you 10% less. Like,
well, I would take it.
We all know we're getting screwed. It's the way of the world. In my America, you're not going to spend $4.03 for a bottle of sparkling water that costs 10 cents for the person to purchase.
So why don't you be a capitalist, buy a case of it, sit outside the store with a little sign that says half price bubbly?
I would love it.
Now you're making money.
And I love the texter. You are, boy, Trump, starter all the price gouging. Well, with that type of a debate, I don't know how I could beat it. I hate to break it to you. You can't keep blaming everybody else for what's currently going on in the world. It's okay. Donald Trump is a gigantic boob. Seems like a real a-hole. But water wasn't $4.03 when he was president.
And my electric bill wasn't doubled the way it has.
And you can blame everybody all you want, but I just live in the world of reality. And in my world, Drake May is the future. Join us.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo, and I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. I was talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judon.
Judon. He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
At least a different place.
Sure, a different place. Excited for him. You know, I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
Steve Burton, and Ramondre Stevenson was 1,000% in the right there. It is the onus is on the questioner, not the interviewee.
Question of that? Was there anybody like ripping Ramondre Stevenson or anything?
I saw some national conversation. I mean, either way, I don't know who was saying what. I'm just saying from my listening to that, like Steve laughing. Like,
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
Well, and it's like, okay, you say, I'm sorry. I should have been more clear. I meant to say your former defensive end/linebacker who was now traded to the Falcons, not the former coach we thought was going to the Falcons.
So I have CTE. I firmly believe that. And I occasionally have these brain farts where I can't think of names. And I think that's what happened to Steve Burton. I truly believe he mid-question forgot Matthew Judon's name and was trying to figure out a way to ask the question without the name, and that's why he was so vague, because otherwise there's no excuse. And it's not Ramondre Stevenson's fault. If you say the guy who just left this year, it's Bill Belichick.
Right.
Just like after 2019, if you say the guy who just left, it's Tom Brady. Like, there's only a couple guys
right
that really have come through here that everyone knows who you're talking about.
And the only one that you would think would be being asked about while not saying their name on the Kraft Sports Production broadcast would be Bill Belichick.
He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
He's a different place.
Okay, and that's the second part. You ask an active player who just re-signed a nice contract to be the centerpiece of the offense. He's moving on to better places. Like, right. Bill, excuse me, Steve, what are we saying here? I mean, I know we say this team's going to stink and win however many games, but right. To say the guy just left to go to a better place, which, by the way, he didn't go to San Francisco or Kansas City,
better place is a debate.
Perennial.
It has a little asterisk.
Well, they're better. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're right. going to win, you know, half their games. They're a better place, but it's not the Niners or Chiefs or perennial Super Bowl contenders.
Right. Both Boston and Atlanta have become Delta hubs, so there's not that different there either. But I would also say, by the way, Atlanta, interesting downtown. It's like Phoenix. Not very residential.
Mm.
You know, when we were at the Super Bowl, I always judge cities by Super Bowls. We're that blessed. But in Phoenix, it was like...
You won't have to do that very often.
I know. Isn't it crazy? We 14, 16, 17, 18... Four Super Bowls in 5 years. Unbelievable.
It's like Fitzy the other night goes, it's going to be a long season. I go, actually, no. I can guarantee it'll only be 17 games. It has no chance of being a long season.
I know. I remember I used to sit in Zarbano's office. It was like week six. He's like, do we book the hotels now? I'm like, yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, and now you won't have to think about that for about 3 years. Best case scenario, fingers crossed.
I know. I remember flying back after Atlanta being like, oh, I wonder how this one stacks up to Houston or Minneapolis. Very odd thing. I was curious to talk to you about this because you go to all of them. Wasn't it shocking? So in Houston, Super Bowl 51.
Okay.
The downtown was like a war zone. Like a, it was enclosed.
Yes.
It was incredibly safe. Mm-hmm. Like even restaurants that were outside of the bubble, there was like people would wand you. All of that. Then we go the next year to Minneapolis, and you're at the Mall of America. And inside the Mall of America, there is the NFL media zone, which is the, you go through the metal detector, and then you can go, it's like mm-hmm. six layers of security to print a document. But Radio Row, all of that area, there was no security. It was very strange, considering that, like, one was a convention center in Houston that was already secluded. Already you had to go through multiple layers, right. But it was still incredibly secure, whereas Mall of America, literally anybody could walk in.
I think it was just the nature of the beast. Like, you can't ask them to take up any more space in the mall than you're already taking up. Like, they need to be able to function and do their business. And, yeah, I just think it was the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and I would
never
also...
Never really thought about it. I mean, did you ever feel threatened?
I mean, when Philly the fans Eagles... were there, it was like... by Wednesday... The other thing that was really cool on Tuesday but was not cool on Friday was the Auntie Anne smell. I love a good pretzel, but there gets a point where it's, you know, too much of anything isn't great.
And then they had that big, right on the corner was like that big carcass of meat, like they shave meat off of,
so
that, like
weird.
Spins and stuff. Yeah.
I will say I had a spectacular beef bourguignon at the one
the hell's
of the
a beef bourguignon?
Oh, I don't know. It was like farfalala bowtie pasta with like beef and mushrooms. God, the Midwest, man, they don't look at calories. They just plop that on a plate.
No, I went, you have, this is typical of you and I probably, you had beef bouillon.
Yeah.
And I went and had a Juicy Lucy or a Lucy Juicy or whatever,
the
stuffed burgers.
Oh, I
went there. I just go for greasy cheeseburgers.
I actually went to one of those, had a Juicy Lucy with the Mutt Man, and it was very good. We went to some place offsite. When you're at a Super Bowl, you are so just like, okay, where is the press conference today? Where's lunch? And where am I meeting everybody?
Yep.
There is no, like, Houston is a huge city. But for my purposes, it was like two blocks. Like, that was the extent of my sightseeing. Whereas if you leave the, like, we went to the XL Center for the NFL media night.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well have been in the middle of, you know, Idaho. Like, I had no clue. I had no bearings at all. You just are so, like, that's why I feel like the Patriots missed an opportunity to try and get one of those where, because you could do it in Boston. Nobody would even think about Foxborough until the game. If they did it,
I mean, you could, the way they do it, the issues would be the weather and everything. But I agree with you, because I always, to me, it should be a walking city. It should be somewhere where you can walk everywhere, because that's how, and I know we're different because we're in the media and we're working, but that's how, like, if you go to New Orleans and you walk from the hotel to the stadium to the media center to Bourbon Street, you get a feel for everything. But when you're in your rental car to drive 40 minutes to the media night at right. the basketball arena, and then 40 minutes back to your hotel, and then 40 minutes over to Radio Row, it doesn't really feel like an event, a
right.
singular.
That's why I feel like Phoenix and what was the other, and Houston, you could have been literally anywhere.
Because they're all just spread out. It's 40 minutes to everything. You put it in your GPS, everything was 40 minutes away.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those. And obviously, Minnesota had its own inherent issues with temperatures and not being able
That's
to go
true.
Outside for more than 10 minutes.
And I remember seeing Nick Caserio at the, not the Tim Hortons, there was a different kind of Caribou Coffee. Look at that pull. And the next night, I would later find out they were benching Malcolm Butler, and all of our worlds would forever change. So 1 hour to go.
Reminiscing. We got to reminisce about Super Bowls because we can't look forward to them.
God, was that fun. But the last one was the best, because that championship game with the Chiefs was so awesome. God, was that a great game. And then to have that shocker, like, holy bleep, we're going to Atlanta. Like, that, were you at all, I mean, you traveled with the team back then, right? Or did the team, once the playoffs start, they kick everybody off?
I don't think I was, I wasn't, because I was doing the post-game show on Patriots.com. So
back here. Either way, well, we have 1 hour to go, and we will reminisce over championships in the past and plan Drake May's next duck boat ride, coming up next.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo. And I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. I was talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judah.
Judah. He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
At least a different place.
Sure, a different place. Excited for him. I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
That was Steve Burton, and Ramondre Stevenson was 1,000% right there. It is the onus is on the questioner, not the interviewee.
Was there a question of that? Was there anybody like ripping Ramondre Stevenson or anything?
I saw some national conversation. I mean, either way, I don't know who was saying what. I'm just saying, from my listening to that, like Steve laughing, like,
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
And it's like, okay, you say, I'm sorry. I should have been more clear. I meant to say your former defensive end/linebacker who is now traded to the Falcons, not the former coach we thought was going to the Falcons.
So I have CTE. I firmly believe that. And I occasionally have these brain farts where I can't think of names. And I think that's what happened to Steve Burton. I truly believe he, mid-question, forgot Matthew Judon's name and was trying to figure out a way to ask the question without the name, and that's why he was so vague, because otherwise there's no excuse. And it's not Ramondre Stevenson's fault. If you say the guy who just left this year, it's Bill Belichick.
Right.
Just like after 2019, if you say the guy who just left, it's Tom Brady. Like, there's only a couple guys
right.
that really have come through here that everyone knows who you're talking about.
And the only one that you would think would be being asked about while not saying their name on the Kraft Sports Production broadcast would be Bill Belichick.
He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
At least a different place.
Okay, and that's the second part. You ask an active player who just re-signed a nice contract to be the centerpiece of the offense. He's moving on to better places. Like, right. Bill, excuse me, Steve, what are we saying here? I mean, I know we say this team's going to stink and win however many games, but right. to say the guy just left to go to a better place, which, by the way, he didn't go to San Francisco or Kansas City,
better place is a debate.
Perennial.
It has a little asterisk.
Well, they're better. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're right. going to win, you know, half their games. They're a better place, but it's not the Niners or Chiefs or perennial Super Bowl contenders.
Right. Both Boston and Atlanta have become Delta hubs, so there's not that different there either. But I would also say, by the way, Atlanta, interesting downtown. It's like Phoenix. Not very residential.
Mm.
You know, when we were at the Super Bowl, I judge cities by Super Bowls. We're that blessed. But in Phoenix, it was like...
You won't have to do that very often.
I know. Isn't it crazy? 14, 16, 17, 18... Four Super Bowls in 5 years. Unbelievable.
It's like Fitzy the other night goes, it's going to be a long season. I go, actually, no. I can guarantee it'll only be 17 games. It has no chance of being a long season.
I know. I remember I used to sit in Zarbano's office. It was like week six. He's like, do we book the hotels now? I'm like, yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, and now you won't have to think about that for about 3 years. Best case scenario, fingers crossed.
I know. I remember flying back after Atlanta being like, oh, I wonder how this one stacks up to Houston or Minneapolis. Very odd thing. I was curious to talk to you about this because you go to all of them. Wasn't it shocking? So in Houston, Super Bowl 51.
Okay.
The downtown was like a war zone. Like a, it was enclosed.
Yes.
It was incredibly safe. Mm-hmm. Like even restaurants that were outside of the bubble, there was like people would wand you. All of that. Then we go the next year to Minneapolis, and you're at the Mall of America. And inside the Mall of America, there is the NFL media zone, which is the, you go through the metal detector, and then you can go, it's like mm-hmm. six layers of security to print a document. But Radio Row, all of that area, there was no security. It was very strange, considering that, like, one was a convention center in Houston that was already secluded. Already you had to go through multiple layers, right. but it was still incredibly secure, whereas Mall of America, literally anybody could walk in.
I think it was just the nature of the beast. Like, you can't ask them to take up any more space in the mall than you're already taking up. Like, they need to be able to function and do their business. And, yeah, I just think it was the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and I would
never
also...
never really thought about it. I mean, did you ever feel threatened?
I mean, when the Philly fans Eagles... were there, it was like... by Wednesday... The other thing that was really cool on Tuesday but was not cool on Friday was the Auntie Anne smell. I love a good pretzel, but there gets a point where it's, you know, too much of anything isn't great.
And then they had that big, right on the corner was like that big carcass of meat, like they shave meat off
so
of that, like
weird.
Spins and stuff. Yeah.
I will say I had a spectacular beef bourguignon at the one
the
of
hell's
the
a beef bourguignon?
I don't know. It was like farfalala but bow tie pasta with like beef and mushrooms. God, the Midwest man, they don't look at calories. They just plop that on a plate.
No, I went, this is typical of you and I probably, you had beef bouillon.
Yeah.
And I went and had a Juicy Lucy or a Lucy Juicy or whatever,
the
stuffed burgers.
Oh,
just go for greasy cheeseburgers.
I actually went to one of those, had a Juicy Lucy with the Mutt Man, and it was very good. We went to some place offsite. When you're at a Super Bowl, you are so just like, okay, where is the press conference today? Where's lunch? And where am I meeting everybody?
Yep.
There is no, like, Houston is a huge city. But for my purposes, it was like two blocks. Like, that was the extent of my sightseeing. Whereas if you leave we went to the XL Center for the NFL media night.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well have been in the middle of, you know, Idaho. Like, I had no clue. I had no bearings at all. You just are so, like, that's why I feel like the Patriots missed an opportunity to try and get one of those where, because you could do it in Boston. Nobody would even think about Foxborough until the game. If they did it at
MetLife.
I mean,
you could, the way they do it, the issues would be the weather and everything. But I agree with you, because I always, to me, it should be a walking city. It should be somewhere where you can walk everywhere, because that's how, and I know we're different because we're in the media and we're working, but that's how, like, if you go to New Orleans and you walk from the hotel to the stadium to the media center to Bourbon Street, you get a feel for everything. But when you're in your rental car to drive 40 minutes to the media night at
right.
the basketball arena and then 40 minutes back to your hotel and then 40 minutes over to Radio Row, it doesn't really feel like a an event, a
right,
singular.
That's why I feel like Phoenix and what was the other, and Houston, you could have been literally anywhere.
Because they're all just spread out. It's 40 minutes to everything. You put it in your GPS, everything was 40 minutes away.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those. And obviously, Minnesota had its own inherent issues with temperatures and not being able to go outside for more than 10 minutes.
And I remember seeing Nick Caserio at the, not the Tim Hortons, there was a different kind of Caribou Coffee. Look at that pull. And the next night, I would later find out they were benching Malcolm Butler, and all of our worlds would forever change. So 1 hour to go.
Reminiscing. We got to reminisce about Super Bowls because we can't look forward to them.
God, was that fun. But the last one was the best because that championship game with the Chiefs was so awesome. God, was that a great game. And then to have that shocker, like, holy bleep, we're going to Atlanta. Like, that, were you at all? I mean, you traveled with the team back then, right? Or did the team, once the playoffs start, they kick everybody off?
I don't think I was. Oh, no. No, I wasn't, because I was doing the post-game show on Patriots.com. So
Here. Either way, well, we have 1 hour to go, and we will reminisce over championships in the past and plan Drake May's next duck boat ride coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.